This is Classical IPR, a service of Interlochen Center for the Arts.
This is Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Amanda Sewell. Juliana Soltis is a Baroque cellist. We spoke with her back in 2017 after the release of her first album, Entre le Diable. She has a new album out called Going Off Script, and we're delighted to have her back with us again. Juliana Soltis, welcome back to Classical IPR.
Thanks so much. I'm glad to be back.
And of course, you're no stranger to Interlochen. You were a camper here in the summers of 98 and 99. What are some of your favorite memories of this place?
Oh my gosh. There are so many things that come to mind, just floods of images when I think about my time at Interlochen. But I think absolutely, like, you know, being there in the auditorium, you know, with the gorgeous lake behind you, and even if it was one of those horrible early morning rehearsals where it's freezing cold in the summer and all we had were the knickers for girls or our little blue shorts. It was just such a beautiful place and such an inspiring environment to be making music, and so incredible to be making that music, to be playing at that incredibly high level with other kids my own age. It's something that has stuck with me even, you know, 20 years later.
Well, Juliana, we've invited you here today to talk about your new album called Going Off Script, which is your take on the 6 cello suites of Johann Sebastian Bach. Now, these pieces have been recorded a lot, to say the least. Tell us a little bit about the perspective that you're bringing to them.
Basically, the Bach that we know, the cello suites that we love, that have been performed for decades, that have been recorded from everybody from Pablo Casals to Jackie Dupre to Yo-Yo Ma, that they're just the beginning. That the notes that are on the page when we look at the Bach cello suites are just a starting point, because in Bach's time, there was a performance practice. And performance practice is just a very fancy way of saying how we approach the playing of any piece of music. But there's this performance practice we call ornamentation. And ornamentation is adding little extra notes to the music spontaneously at the moment of performance. This completes the composer's compositional process, and essentially these pieces are not completed, they're not done, they're not fully composed, they're not fully realized until that moment of performance. And it's a really wonderful collaboration between composer, and in this case a composer like Bach, who's been gone for so long, and the performer.
And so we're going to listen to movements from 3 different cello suites today while you're here. And as a point of comparison for the listeners, we will be comparing Juliana's performances from her new album alongside Yo-Yo Ma's 2018 recording of the cello suite. So no pressure there.
It's only Yo-Yo.
Yeah, it's just Yo-Yo. And it's only, what, his 3rd recording of them that came out last year?
Yeah, his 3rd.
Well, let's start with the suite number 1, the prelude, the first movement, which is probably the most famous movement of the cello suites, and I would say easily one of the most recognized pieces of classical music out there. What are you doing in your interpretation here that we should note?
Well, one of the things that I hope a listener would note, especially because people are so familiar with this piece, complete strangers come up to me in airports and on subways and at bus stops, and, you know, I always have the cello on my back, and they sing this piece to you. Like, you play this piece, you play this pretty piece, and they've been doing it since I was, like, really small. And always, yes, completely, you know, happy to interact with people and to talk about the music and say, yes, I do play this piece. One of the things that I'm doing in this piece is actually adding some ornaments to the prelude. Usually ornamentation is found on repeated music. So in movements that we'll listen to later, I think those Sarabande from suite number 3 and the Gigue from suite number 6, you'll hear me play something through, and then I'll go back and you'll be like, oh, I thought I heard this already. And that's when I'm going to start adding ornaments. But in the prelude, there were moments where there was, again, repeated material. Ornamentation, this, you know, spontaneous compositional process, it happens on repeated material more often than not. And where I do add a little bit of something extra.
Well, we're going to fade out Yo-Yo Ma here and bring up your performance of the prelude from the cello suite number 1 of Johann Sebastian Bach. This is cellist Juliana Soltis from her new album, Going Off Script. The prelude from the cello suite number 1 of Johann Sebastian Bach from a new album called Going Off Script by cellist Juliana Soltis, who joins us today at Interlaken Public Radio. Juliana, in the album's liner notes, you refer to Bach's cello suites as living works of art with each letter capitalized. So how would you say that point of view differs from that of some other musicians?
Well, we certainly venerate Bach, and with very good reason. Bach is an incredible composer, and, you know, for cellists, he is probably the only composer in our repertory who we keep coming back to for our entire lives, our entire careers. I started playing Bach when I was 11, and I'm now 37 years old, and I'm still playing Bach, and I'm going to keep playing Bach for the rest of my life. I think one of the problems, or one of the challenges, rather, in approaching historical music, we can look back on historical music with a sort of reverence that I think prevents us from connecting with its humanity. We revere Bach and his works to such a degree that we put him, his little marble bust, he's up on the shelf. His works are untouchable. They are like behind bulletproof glass. They're, you know, behind the, you know, the little wires and the sensors they put up at art museums. You do not cross this line or else suddenly like 10 docents are going to converge on your spot in their blazers and tell you to step back from the painting, please. And this is what we're doing with Bach. And it becomes then just this sort of stale museum work. And we're not engaging with the material in the way that Bach most likely intended. Bach is operating in a world where improvisation is part of the tradition, or improvisation is part of the practice, and things are supposed to be composed in the moment. And I love this practice because it really roots us in the moment, which I think in the modern digital age where, you know, we've got the fear of missing out and the 24-hour news cycle, we are very much not in the moment. We're always, what's next, what's next, what's next? And so when I say living works of art, living works of art, this means that these are not supposed to be the same all the time. They're not supposed to be behind the bulletproof glass. You are supposed to take these works out and play them, mess around with them, sometimes make colossal mistakes. But it is supposed to be new and vital every time that you play it.
And the ghost of Bach is not going to come for you and ask why you didn't play only what the black dots on the page were.
You know, I think that it's much more likely that he is, you know, wherever he is floating out in the universe, saying, guys, come on, do something with my music already. I would love to see other performers, whether they're historical performance specialists like myself or they're, you know, thoroughly modern cellists, really experiment with this idea and see where it takes them.
So now we're going to jump kind of to the middle of the set with the Sarabande from the cello suite number 3. It's the fourth movement from that suite. How are you approaching this movement differently compared to other interpretations? And we should say that Yo-Yo Ma's 2018 recording of the same movement is playing under us as we're talking here.
Well, certainly in the Sarabande, which is a slower movement, but which I play a bit faster than people might be accustomed to hearing it. One of the big differences between historical interpreters and modern interpreters of Baroque works is tempo discrepancies. Historical players tend to play fast movements slower and slow movements faster. And again, there's research behind this, but it's often one of the first things that people notice. And again, here, you'll hear me play something through, and then you'll hear that material come back. And it's when this material comes back that the ornaments start to happen. And in a slower movement like a Sarabande, there's especially a lot of space to improvise. And when we're looking at, or when I'm looking at a piece and where can I add ornamentation, where can I improvise, where can I, you know, where am I supposed to finish this compositional process? We're often looking for spaces in between notes. If you have a jump from a high note to a low note, that's a place to add something. Even if there's only a space between two notes that's not very far apart, you can add a little turn, add a little trill, add a tiny scale, something that draws attention to this particular moment, that emphasizes it or makes it a little more playful.
And this is not without precedent. I mean, you listen to any opera aria composed during this same period, and the opera singers are doing that as well with the sections that come back. They do it pretty straight the first time, and then it's ornamented on the return as well.
Exactly. One of the things that I find most perplexing in the field of historically informed performance is that ornamentation is not questioned. This is so accepted as a practice in Baroque music and even really up into the classical era that even modern performers will do this if they play Vivaldi or if they play Telemann, if they're playing a Haydn concerto and some material comes back, then people will add ornaments. But Bach, for some reason, is held apart by everybody. And you know, my own teachers often said that we don't ornament Bach. And there were always varying reasons, but when I really started to think about it, this doesn't really make any sense. We ornament Bach's contemporaries. We ornament music by his sons, who, you know, by all accounts thought their dad was pretty old-fashioned. but we aren't ornamenting Bach. And I think this is a really wonderful time to start asking ourselves why and maybe re-examine our relationship with Bach's works and how we interact with them.
Well, let's listen to this movement, the Saraband, from the Suite for Cello No. 3 of Johann Sebastian Bach, performed by our guest Juliana Soltis from her new album called Going Off Script.
Thank you.
We heard the Sarabande, the fourth movement from the cello suite number 3 of Johann Sebastian Bach, performed by cellist Juliana Soltis from her new album called Going Off Script. Juliana, I have to ask, throughout this album, I've noticed your breathing is quite audible in most of the tracks. Was that a conscious decision on your part in the recording process?
This actually was a conscious decision, not just on my part, but on the part of my producer and mixing and mastering engineer. And there were many discussions that were had by everyone involved. For me, the album was much more of a collaborative process. Yes, I'm playing solo. Yes, I'm playing unaccompanied. But these things don't happen just on their own. There's an incredibly wonderful team of people who worked with me on this album, and I valued their input at every stage, every step of the way. And we all sort of is sitting down, you know, over various dinners and, you know, occasionally over beers at the bar, talked quite a bit about how we wanted this to sound and how we wanted this idea of sort of breaking free of a previous pattern of a way of doing things, how this we wanted this to really run, like be the common thread throughout the entire album. And again, there are so many wonderful recordings of Bach out there, but when we all started talking about the sound that we wanted to create, I myself was drawn to a lot of the old mono recordings, like by Pablo Casals, and my engineers were like, really? And I said, oh, yeah. I said, you put that on, it sounds like he's in the room with you, which is just incredible. And I'm not going to name names because I love all of these people dearly and they're such wonderful cellists. Or they really are. But a lot of recordings that have come out recently, I have felt that they sound a little too artificial. It sounds like the cellist is on the other end of the room. There's so much reverberation. And I thought, oh, I want this music to feel immediate. I want it to feel like somebody was sitting there on the stage with me at the concert hall at Drew University, where we recorded the album over the course of a year and a half. I want this music to feel personal. I want it to feel intimate. And so in the way that we mixed it and mastered it, you know, then the question came up, how much of my breathing do we leave in and how much do we take out? And we all really did tend towards let's leave it in. Acknowledge that I am a living, breathing person playing the instrument. And hopefully it's not distracting for people. I hope that it does instead create a more personal experience for people.
Well, let's talk about the cello suite number 6. We'll go to the Gigue, which is the 6th movement. And again, we'll have Yo-Yo Ma here playing in the background for our comparison. Well, first of all, this suite requires an entirely different cello than the previous 5 suites. So tell us about the 5-string cello you used for this work.
Well, like you mentioned, the 6th suite is on a 5-string cello, and the 6th suite is indicated for a cello with 5 strings. And there is a lot of scholarly debate about exactly what is this 5-string cello like. And there are a few options. Some people say that it's a regular-sized cello that has 5 strings. Some people say it's the violoncello piccolo, which is a small cello, piccolo meaning, you know, small, cello with 5 strings. And the other choice, I believe, is, and I think this one's a little more out there personally, but the violoncello da spalla. And da spalla means of the shoulder. So this is actually a cello that has a strap on the back, and it's a small cello. And you put the strap sort of around your shoulders and neck, and you hold the cello on your shoulder, and you play it like a violin. I have never played one myself, but I've seen it done. And I keep thinking one of these days I'm going to have to try that. But What I used for this recording was actually a 5-string violoncello piccolo. So you'll hear not only that addition of a top string, a top E string, like you would hear on a violin has a top E string, but you'll also notice a real timbral difference. And timbral, of course, just meaning sound color. This instrument, because it's smaller, is going to make a very different kind of sound, a very different range of sounds than my antique Baroque cello, which is, well, a little smaller than a full size, but still bigger than a violoncello piccolo.
In addition to having a completely different instrument in this suite, what else are we going to hear in the Gigue that sort of sets it apart from some other previous performances of the Bach cello suites?
Well, again, the big difference is going to be the ornamentation that happens on the repeats. And in this Gigue in particular, too, I think because I felt really inspired by the different kinds of sounds that the 5-string cello would make as opposed to my 4-string Baroque cello, really did push the boundaries in the 6th suite in general with the kind of sounds that I create. There are a couple of times when I really will let my bow crawl down towards the bridge of the cello, not a true sol ponte cello, meaning, of course, playing on the bridge, which is an indication you often see in more recent works from the Romantic period onwards. But there are a lot of Baroque sources that talk about, okay, we want to play more towards the bridge. The sound is clearer. And so I was honestly fooling around when I was practicing, and I started pushing down towards the bridge, and it makes this wonderfully thin and icy sound. And I thought, oh, this is great. I want to use this. I'm going to use this, I think, in a couple of places. And just, you know, the suite written in D major goes to some really interesting places harmonically, some interesting neighboring keys. And so I really wanted to make use of those special sounds, those special tone colors when I hit these really cool harmonic areas.
Well, let's hear it now. This is the Gigue, the 6th movement from the cello suite number 6 by Johann Sebastian Bach from a new album called Going Off Script by our guest today, cellist Juliana Soltis.
Thank you.
Cellist Juliana Soltis from her new album called Going Off Script. We heard the sixth movement, the Gigue, from the sixth cello suite by Johann Sebastian Bach. And Juliana, before we wrap up today, I have to ask about Rain. How's he doing?
Rain is doing really well, actually. He's doing better than he was this time last year. I think I documented this on Instagram, but poor Rain had to have a toe amputated.
Oh, no.
I know. We should
mention that Rain is your rescue greyhound.
Yes, Rain is my rescue greyhound before anybody thinks that that Rain is my child. I mean, he is my fur baby. But no, Rain is my rescue greyhound who I got from Greyhound Pets in Seattle, Washington, and he was a Florida boy, as I like to tell people. And Rain broke a toe, and poor thing had to have it amputated.
Poor guy.
So now he's missing a toe on one foot, and it looks a little like he's constantly giving everybody a bit of an obscene gesture. But he's very happy. He's doing well. He's walking very well. He still offers incredibly funny commentary on my practicing, which I like to document on Instagram. He's particularly fond of hiding his head under blankets and under chairs when I'm working. So it keeps you humble. What can I say?
Well, folks, we'll have a link to Juliana's Instagram on our website at classicalipr.org if you want to see her adventures with Rain. And Juliana, for your last album, you gave away copies to anyone who posted a photo of their rescue animal on your Facebook page. Are you planning something similar for this album?
I am planning something similar for this album. What I did last time was Rain's Gotcha Day, the day that I adopted him, is coming up here now that it's September. And what I did last time was on Gotcha Day, which is September 19th, I invited everybody to post a picture of their own rescue pet on my Facebook page, Juliana Soltis Cellist, and everybody who shared a photo of their rescue cat or dog or bunny or ferret, I sent a copy of the new album. So I am planning to do that again. So if people want to follow me on Facebook and stay tuned for that giveaway, it should be fun.
Okay, mark your calendars, folks. If you want a copy of Juliana's new album, all you have to do is share a picture of your rescue pet on her Facebook page when she makes that post. The new album is called Going Off Script, The Ornamented Suites for Cello. Juliana Soltis, thank you so much for talking with us today here at Classical IPR.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you to Bob Powell at West Virginia Public Broadcasting for engineering support. I'm Amanda Sewell. Thanks for listening.